The University Tower chimes, ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, it's Professor Kendra Evans.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Were you unsure?
We're a week away from being one-third of the way through the semester. It goes fast.
Oh, wow. That is...
Nope. We're 25% done.
That is absolutely true, then. That is really disturbing.
I'm going home. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, Professor Jim Tubbs from the Department of Religious Studies, I'm surprised that you're not keeping better track of the weeks after your more after your more recent announcement here. It sounds like you're going to be going on sabbatical during the winter.
Well, yes, I've got a research leave in the winter term.
What are you going to be up to?
Nice.
Are you going to be researching cruise ships?
No. Oh, no, that would be fun. I would love to do that.
I can just imagine.
No, I'm going to be looking at research ethics and particularly the notion of what is owed to sick people that are recruited to be in therapeutic research studies.
Cool. Very cool. And all the way around the table, Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Looking creative, as usual.
I'm just looking pumpkin spicy today.
Yep. Yes, you are. And just in time for this change in weather we're about to get.
North of us, we're supposed to get the first frost of the season.
That's right.
Really?
That's exactly right.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, but up in the UP, it's a different story altogether.
Yikes. Well, the callers will be out soon enough.
I'll blend right in.
Mm-hmm. Pumpkin spice.
And there
spice.
Hasn't been much. I've seen two maple trees thus far.
That's
that
right.
Seem to be showing any significant change in color.
That's
and
right.
This is, what, the 24th of... It's late.
Wow.
Really
Jim,
not
you're,
much.
You're really losing your time right
not
now.
Much change. Well, I don't... I
fourth
was
week,
not looking
week,
at 24th. The calendar.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autograph photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu, reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp, or find us on the Facebook. We had a nice little note here. I think you'll all agree. Hello, asked the professor.
Hello.
I recently rediscovered your show. My father was a regular panelist in the 1980s. I had no idea the show was still on. It's great. I've been enjoying it. My brother and I found a throwback classic episode. Looks like it aired in July 2018. It was a throwback to June 1984, an episode that just so happened that my father was in. It was amazing to hear his voice and banter with his colleagues in his prime. Here's the link, because I don't really see it posted on your site anymore. I'm wondering about the other old archive shows you might have around that time. Is there any possible way you can get those to me? My dad was Bernie Green. He worked at Detroit Mercy for 35 years as a professor of psychology.
Yes.
Retired mid-2000s. He passed away 3 years ago, unfortunately. The psych department was very nice and posted the obituary in their fall 2015 newsletter. I don't know exactly when he was on the show. He was a regular for a couple of years, I know that. And clearly, 1984 was one of those years. I'm not sure if you have any records or have any way of knowing what years he was on. Or again, if you have any archive link to other shows from the 80s, I'm more than happy to sift through them myself. Thank you, Catherine Green. So that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened, I did research. I listened to the episode in question before we came today. And it was a barn burner. 1984, Ed DeWitt is the host. And the first person he introduces is George Pickering. And George introduces himself and doesn't let Edwin introduce anybody self. Let's get to the questions. Wow. Oh my gosh. And then I heard Bernie Green. He was more in that episode, at least, the straight man. But every single panelist was speaking over Edwin the entire show. And I'm not saying that that doesn't happen here either. It was really an eye-opener.
Oh, we're such a respectful group.
Oh, we're very respectful around here. But
I'm sure there's a shotgun switch in this table here right about now.
Right.
Any one of us.
Exactly.
You know?
Or a trap door.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, I thought that was very cool. We run into people all the time that grew up with us, and there's a lot of years between 1984 and now, so it's pretty interesting to see that people are still listening even after all that time. So enjoy, Catherine. Send us some questions, things that Bernie would have liked. That would be great. And if anybody out there had Professor Green, you can send those memories our way too. So we're Hacking away at a set of questions from Michelle Horner. Viva Las Vegas, she says. These are all randomized. I think the last one we did was, in what city is the World Health Organization located?
It was Geneva.
Geneva, that's right. Let's go on from there. Something that has nothing to do with WHO or Geneva, Switzerland. What TV detective show had the theme song titled Keep Your Eye on the Sparrow?
Ooh.
I wish that I could hum this one, but I actually don't know this one off the top of my head.
Sounds like Starsky and Hutch, Cannon, Columbo, yep. McMillan and Wife.
It says it was sung by Sammy Davis Jr.
Should
be very recognizable.
The Gentleman with the Cockatoo.
Oh, you're right.
What was his name? He was a child actor. He was one of the Little Rascals.
Oh, my gosh.
Robert Blake.
Oh, my gosh. Almost there. Starts with the letter B.
I can see it. I can.
I think I've done everything I can to help you out.
Oh, where's Dan when I need him? Because I
yeah, where's Dan?
Yeah, where's his half of the brainstem here?
It's 70s era, right?
Wouldn't you say 70s late era? 70s. Yeah.
The name of the show was Beretta.
Beretta. Yeah, Beretta. I can see it.
Yeah, the cockatoo.
That's
yeah.
Right, the big bird. Oh my gosh. Okay, it's sort of a bird connection. What's the name of the NFL's Philadelphia Eagles mascot? I mean, you probably could just guess this by...
What, like Liberty?
Hawk, Talon,
Freedom,
Claw, Liberty Thrower,
Eddie. Eddie's
Independence.
A good actually, it's an action word.
Run, jump, pass, duck, dodge.
An action word.
Yeah, it starts with the letter S.
Hold on, right now, I'm... Swoop?
It's what Eagles do. They swoop.
Oh.
Swoop the eagle.
Swoop the eagle.
Yes. Good work.
Okay, all right.
I like Eddie, but
so do I.
Swoop it is.
Yeah, but last
that was a fun movie.
Eddie the Eagle Edwards, do you guys remember him from the Calgary Olympics? He was the ski jumper?
Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah. The guy with the googly, the big thick glasses.
I was saying, I like the movie about him, too.
That was with Hugh Jackman. And who played Eddie? I can't remember.
I don't think I've seen him in anything else.
It was a recent movie, though.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. About 2 years ago, maybe.
Okay. There was a restaurant chain that until fairly recently, and I'm sorry, there's no explanation why this may not be true anymore, had the slogan, Save the Planet, on almost all of its merchandise.
Well, probably not Hardee's.
And why not?
Partial credit.
What's the one? No, what's the one I was thinking about with Schwarzenegger, Sliced Alone, Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood is not the right answer, but that's a good guess. That's a really good guess, actually. It's just sort of random.
Guess.
Come buy a $10 hamburger and also save the planet.
So we have one here locally?
We still do. It's downtown. Yeah. It's by Campus Martius.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's your
I've
area.
Never
Hard
been
Rock?
There. It's Hard Rock.
Oh,
yeah, Hard
okay.
Rock.
You were really close, actually, because those are parallel.
Do you remember, I think it was one of the first times Dan, I, and Jason, we actually went down there and... Raise the EM banner.
Yeah, that's right. Very well done. Very well done. Who was the first VJ who appeared on screen on MTV? Who was it?
It wasn't Martha Quinn, was it?
It was not. She was the third.
Oh, okay. Who else was there? There's Alan Jackson.
Alan Jackson. I believe you're hybridizing two of them. The second one was Alan Hunter.
Alan Hunter. Okay.
And the fourth one was J.J. Jackson.
All right. Who
hybridized?
The last one was Nina Blackwood.
Uh-oh.
Who was the first? Initials M.G.
Michael Morty.
Same first name as the chair of our department.
Mark.
And the last name that starts with a G.
Gustafson?
Grant?
Mark Goodman was his name.
Okay.
Yes.
Hmm.
We've done
I do not know VJs.
Video Killed the Radio Star. We've done that.
And then Pat Benatar.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a student who's doing a project about Pat Benatar.
What kind of a project?
She's doing three separate candles. Okay, she's doing the art for the candles.
Really?
And she's picking three women that are yet to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Pat's not in it?
No.
Who else?
Really?
Cyndi Lauper, and the other one she's going to do is Karen Carpenter.
Okay, not in the Rock and Roll
Hall of Fame. None of those are in the Hall of Fame?
They're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow, well, they all ought to be.
So right now she's doing the artwork, of Cyndi Lauper in a saintly pose, putting them on, you know, like a religious candle, and then she's going to drive out to Cleveland, put it on the steps, and take a picture of it.
Oh, wow.
And Instagram the snot out of it.
Of course she is.
Well, let us know how that turns out.
I know. I'm, like I said, I think this could be a groundswell as far as getting them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, like, seriously, would you have ever thought that Pat Benatar's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Cyndi Lauper?
Karen Carpenter?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe Karen Carpenter.
Well, she was a drummer, though.
Yeah, she was.
That's surprising.
I know. Like I said, she did the research as far as, okay, these are the three I'm going to do, and she gave a rationale why.
Uh-huh. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's nice having smart illustrators.
And Cyndi Lauper's even written a smash Broadway
show. And she's
show.
Still, yeah, she's still performing.
That's right.
Yeah, all that's right. Well, not Karen, but anyway. She's singing with the angels.
Right? Mm-hmm. There you go.
She's angelically tweeting.
What is the second most abundant element in the universe?
Carbon.
It's not carbon.
Nitrogen. Car tires. Is nitrogen the most abundant?
I mean, you know the number one, right?
Hydrogen.
Yeah, hydrogen is the most abundant.
Oxygen?
Nope.
No, I already said carbon and nitrogen.
You're actually getting too complex. You need to back it up quite a bit.
What?
If the number one element is hydrogen, the number
helium.
Two is helium.
Oh, yeah, of course, because we're thinking universe, not Earth.
Yes.
That's the problem
yes.
here.
What,
I should have gone back to They Might Be Giants and used my vocal lyrics, and I would have been there in no time.
The sun is a miasma of incandescent plasma. At least that's what I've heard. Right, so hydrogen only has a proton and electron, so it's the simplest element, and helium only has one more subatomic particle than that. So, plus, most of the stars are made out of hydrogen and helium, and they take up a lot of space. I believe I already made
They're
this joke, but I don't
know.
Well,
furnaces.
I know that the German Zeppelins were filled with hydrogen because they couldn't get the helium from us.
That's right.
All the humanity.
We are the world strategic helium reserves. And that was the only thing that got us a couple of key solvents from China because they did not have the helium that we had a few months ago.
We have higher voices.
Yeah, we're having some helium shortages in the last decade.
Yes, we have.
It's kind of stressful.
Who wrote the book, The Hunt for Red October?
Ooh. Not Tom Wolfe, is it? No.
Tom is right.
Oh.
Clancy.
It was Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy.
Okay. Yes.
I was surprised that you guys didn't know this one.
No, I did know that. I just was slow to say
well,
it.
Well, I did, but I didn't. You know, I was trying to put the name with the face.
Right. Right. So there is a spin on Tom Clancy lately with John Krasinski playing his famous CIA.
Jack Ryan.
And I saw a comic strip. I may have thought of you, Dave. On the internet this week, where basically every facet of the person's life was John Krasinski as Jack Ryan, because it does seem to be everywhere, TV, internet, billboards, whatever, until the point when the person wakes up in the morning and they're, you know, John Krasinski as Jack Ryan is lying in the bed next to
him. Yeah, it is getting a little bit hyper.
The media buy is good.
So. It's just interesting because I think there's a lot of people who don't quite know that Tom Clancy died a number of years ago, and whenever you see these things, it says Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan in new thing.
Because so it's kind of like Ian Fleming and James Bond.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they're not as good. Like, any of the new stuff is not as good as the old stuff.
Not as good as the old stuff. No, too prolific. That's the problem. In what movie did Huey Lewis of Huey Lewis and the News fame make his acting debut?
Back to the Future?
Yeah, he played the school administrator who admonished Marty's band for being too loud.
I think it was 35 years ago, 2 weeks ago. That
really?
Sports was released.
Oh my gosh, one of my favorite albums of all
because
time.
I remember, wait a minute, Huey Lewis is doing the soundtrack to Back to the Future.
Yeah, and I just heard that song on the radio this morning.
Yeah.
Don't need a credit card, right?
Power of Love.
Yeah.
What a great song.
I just
song.
Heard that this morning, and I was like, this is great.
I remember
Back to the Future.
1983, I saw them at Joe Louis.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember, like, we were way up in the nosebleeds. I remember one of the Tower of Power horns, the poor saxophonist, lost his mouthpiece in mid-performance.
How?
He was twirling around, all of a sudden, the next thing you know, the mouthpiece is like flying across
what?
The stage.
I've never
floor.
Heard of that happening.
Whoa. Wow.
And I remember some poor roadie is trying to find it. I'm like, what the heck is going on
goodness.
Down there? That's awesome.
That
was the first album that I purchased with my own money, and it was a CD.
Did you get it
record.
From Harmony House by us?
I got it from Harmony House. And boy, I was obsessed with those guys, and I was really obsessed with their horn section, Tower of Power, mm-hmm. and I listened to them a lot too. So those were the days. And Back to the Future, the original, is yep. my favorite movie of all time. Probably the reason that I'm a scientist. I hate to say it that way, but definitely the reason that my third son is named after one of the main characters from that movie.
Biff?
Oh, Emmett. Emmett.
And definitely you still love DeLoreans.
Oh, absolutely. Especially the time machines. I still start every class that I teach, relatively speaking, except for the one that I just did with Professor Evans. This one shows you where you are. This one shows you where you were. This one shows you where you're going. Okay, where would one find the character, not a real person, Shermie Plepler? Who is Shermie Plepler?
Shermie?
Mm-hmm.
The only Shermie that even rings a bell is like...
Is this in film?
No.
Children's book.
It's something to do with children.
The only Shermie I can think of is Charlie Brown's friend.
That's right. That's who Shermie Plepler is.
What's the last name?
Oh.
Plepler. Plepler.
I mean, that's the only Shermie I can think of anywhere. I mean, how many Sherms? Sure. Potter? I mean, you know, like...
So Shermie has two things that were very important that everybody knows him for with regard to Peanuts. Do you know what they are?
He was the first African-American character.
No, that would have been Franklin.
Oh, oops, my bad.
Shermie was the actual first Peanuts character ever shown in a Peanuts comic strip. My favorite Peanuts comic strip of all time. Charlie Brown is walking by in the background, and Shermie's sitting next to some girl.
I hate him or something.
Good old Charlie Brown. Last panel. How I hate him.
Yeah. that's true.
And
okay, gotcha.
In the Christmas episode, he goes, every year I have to be a shepherd because my first name is Shermie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shermie
the Shepherd.
That's what
I remember that line.
Yes. One. Okay.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that again.
Good old Charlie Brown. How I hate him. That's my favorite of all time.
I mean, that's such a harsh theme for children to think about. I hate him. Like, wow.
And Charlie never deserved any of
that. I know.
That.
You know, pulling the football away.
Poor Charlie.
Getting the Halloween costume with all the holes in it.
Only good.
Getting a rock.
Kind of a big deal, by the way. I can't help but bring this up for those who might be interested. One of the biggest things about the Halloween episodes, The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, is that very, very soon after the airing of the episode, they lost all of the audio that was done by Vince Guaraldi, the jazz trio that did the music, and they just in the last month restored it, and they're going to release an album in 2018 so that you can actually buy it. I just find that fascinating. 1963.
They're going to release it like for this season?
For this season, exactly.
Well, now's the time.
Now, that's also another sad thing. Now we just download. What happened to like buying a CD?
That's gone the way of the dodo, my friend.
I know.
Yes. The Great Pumpkin Waltz is one of my favorite pieces of music in all the world. I love it dearly. Speaking of all this sort of thing, what is the best-selling copyrighted book of all time? Copyrighted book, so not the Bible.
I was going to say.
Unless God's got something to...
he's got the big patent office, that's all.
The best copyrighted book of all time.
I'm going to guess that this is going to change, probably because books are going to change, but also I don't hear the youngins talking about this book much anymore. We did a lot when I was growing up.
So, okay, it's got to be an educational staple, right?
Semi-educational, I'd say. Yeah.
It's not like a Cliff Notes or anything like that.
No, but it's definitely not a novel. It is a giant list of things.
Like a book of lists?
Not the book of lists.
That was always one of my favorites growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like a dictionary.
Not a dictionary.
Oh, thesaurus? No. Oh, Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes.
That is the best-selling copyrighted book
of all time.
Well, that's weird, huh?
I mean, they get a free pass, Jim, because every year it has a different number on it, but it counts in the grand scheme of all the books, you know? So.
Well, do you remember, like, I just remember, like, when we were kids, you know, the records actually meant something, and now they get, like, the weirdest...
Oh, yeah. It's...
You know, like yeah.
how many hot dogs you ate on Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. Or you know, like how many times can you
who stands naked in the snow the longest?
Yeah, I mean, no offense. Nobody wants to break those records.
Well,
no,
somebody
it's true.
Does.
Yeah.
Two or three Absolutely. People.
Yeah, but they keep on coming with the weirdest, obtuse categories that nobody cares about anymore.
Because they have to do it to up the ante. You know, it's greatest amount of time altogether texting.
And it's no longer Guinness trying to find out these things. It's right. people telling it's them, we've done yeah. this for this amount of time. You know, has anybody else ever done it?
No, it's absolutely true.
But what's wrong with having like a record that's going to go unbroken?
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I will admit, when I was in high school, I did think about it.
Doing what?
Breaking a world record.
But which record?
For what?
I was contemplating doing the world's largest game of musical chairs.
Huh. Oh. I know that we
how
had...
How many chairs were you going to start with?
4,700.
4,700?
That's a long walk around.
No. But here's the thing. I was going to... It was literally, you know, like the first stoppage of the song, we would have to eliminate like 100 people or something.
Oh,
like
good
that.
Grief.
So you'd have to eliminate
lots. That would take
lots.
Forever.
Oh my
Don't
gosh,
laugh. I've got a radio
so
station
funny.
That was actually interested in doing it.
Wow. What you'd have to worry about is how far people are from the source
oh, yeah.
of
That's
the music.
What I was thinking, yeah. Are they going to hear it? Sound travels at
when
such
to
a
sit down.
Speed.
Here's the thing that I even thought about. I contacted like the arenas, Kobo,
oh
Joe
my
Louis.
Gosh. You had a whole plan.
I had a plan for this thing.
Why did it fall through?
Because I couldn't get an arena to agree to, and the liability would have killed me as an 18-year-old.
Yeah. How about the largest game of leapfrog?
Okay, there is one that I think I could seriously break, though. Grape catch.
Oh, really? Like how many in a row?
It's like distance.
Oh, okay.
The record is like 103 yards. So
someone's
it's
shooting it into your mouth.
So somebody could throw it. It's got to be physically thrown. I got to find somebody who can throw 103 yards.
Probably a pitcher.
Grape.
Yeah, professional
pitcher. I can catch pretty well.
Wow.
We do that at school, believe it or not.
I hope you do break that record. I'll be there to watch it.
Okay, like right now, you guys have been on our campus. You know, there's a Tinker Toy building.
Yep.
Every now and then they have like a gallery opening. So I'll have some student throw it over the second floor and sure. I can catch it on the other side.
I love it. I love it.
Crazy.
There was a record that was trying to be broken recently in Metro Detroit. So we have an unincorporated township by the name of Hell. And it is not named after the hell of the Judeo-Christian Islamic background. It's more of a German word, but it's still fun to say you had lunch in hell. And they were trying to break the greatest number of hearses in a parade, which is a relatively easy number to break. It's 71.
Oh, that's easy.
They were not allowed the permit to have their parade.
Why?
Well, so because that stretches four times as long as the town.
Exactly.
So circle it.
But how many pink Cadillacs did they have in Aretha's?
Way more than 70.
It was quite a large number.
A lot.
I didn't know Mary Kay made it.
They sold well.
That many cars.
Oh, the highway of love. Back to the questions. What actor from the TV show Night Court won 4 consecutive Emmys for his role?
Oh, he played the judge.
No, it wasn't Harry Anderson, actually.
Oh,
it wasn't.
Bull Shannon?
No.
The guy with the gray hair.
Yes.
Dan.
Yeah, he's really funny. I don't know
his
name.
Dan Fielding. John Larroquette.
I did watch that show.
John Larroquette. Okay.
After the 4th win at the podium, he withdrew his name from award consideration because he was embarrassed by how many times in a row.
For Night Court, yeah.
For Night Court.
He was good.
It was a really, really good show.
I remember he was one of the Klingons in Star Trek 2,
oh,
remember?
That's right.
Yeah, he rarely
absolutely.
Showed up in other things after that, but on occasion, right?
Yep.
He was such a great character on Night Court, though.
Oh, Dan Fielding. That's the 80s. Him and Alex B. Keaton, that's all you need, right?
Well, the sort of cynicism that he managed to carry.
Oh, so good, though, because he also had a heart of gold.
Yes.
You know, that's what was so wonderful about him. I love that character.
Ironic soul.
Yes.
What percentage of the entire U.S. potato crop goes to McDonald's to make French fries?
4.7%.
29%.
It's higher than 4.7 and lower 16. Than 29. It's lower than 16.
11.
Okay, Kendra, it's all you now.
9.8%.
Give it to you. 8%. 8% goes to make the fries.
Still, that's scary.
3 billion pounds of potatoes.
And that's just one fast food company.
One company. Domestic McDonald's makes up 0.5% of the world crop of potatoes. I mean, that's... I don't make 0.5% up of anything, except for maybe, I don't know.
That's a lot of food.
Yeah, but I was going to say, what about Hardee's, Burger King, all those?
I know, but they just don't sell as much.
They don't.
But
everybody likes McDonald's fries. Let's get some
I would eat those right now.
can we take this on the road?
I like Burger King's better.
Sure, yeah. But I'd eat McDonald's
I wouldn't
right
say
now.
No to it.
Burger King's are better.
No, Kendra, one of these days, I'm going to leave school early. We're bringing Taco Bell here.
Taco Bell. I just saw a meme posted by Dave Bartley, and it said, Professor Dave Bartley, former assistant professor of chemistry in our department. And he posted a meme, and it was said, this is what happens if you don't vote. And it was a picture of Taco Bell with a sign out in front that said, voted best Mexican restaurant.
Oh.
And then the following conversation was, that actually is really good. I actually really like Taco Bell. That's the next several threads. And then the next threads after that are, but why is it $7 for the three taco meal?
Oh, my gosh. That's so hilarious.
That is sad, though, that Taco Bell does.
It's a little overpriced. It's getting overpriced.
Well, it didn't used to be. No, they had a big $1 menu at one time.
They had like the 39-cent taco when I was in high school.
It's gone. Now even like a cheese wrap is like $1.50.
No, actually, the best thing about it is the $5 box lunches, if you guys have seen
that. Yeah. That's a value.
They're not as good as they used to be. They're getting smaller and smaller.
Solid value.
I know. But do you guys remember like when Taco Bell actually had a real bell on top of the building?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
The one in Berkeley.
Yeah. They're made of styrofoam.
Yeah.
Not that I stole one or anything like that.
We won't tell.
I know nothing.
Couple more questions from this great question set. What is on the opposite side of Taco Bell? What two countries were the combatants in the First and Second Boer Wars?
Okay.
Jim?
Professor Tubbs.
Well, England was on...
United Kingdom was one of them.
Yeah. And let's see. Well, it was in South Africa.
South Africa is what it says here.
Okay.
I'm giving you full credit on that. And there's just enough time left in our episode here for Professor Chow to chime in with one that's right up his alley. What is the name of famed cartoonist Al Hirschfeld's daughter?
Nina.
Now you gotta let us know how
you
know
that.
Because I did his research. I did a term paper when I was in middle school on him.
On Hirschfeld.
Because he would always sign Hirschfeld 9 or whatever, and then the number would actually be how many times Nina appears in the illustration.
Well, speaking
really?
Yes.
Huh.
So if you take a look, it says Hirschfeld 5, there's Nina. You know,
he hid his daughter's name in the illustration.
It wasn't hidden that well, but it's there.
Well, speaking of very artistic people, we really lost an important one this weekend, David DiChiara.
Yes.
Who started the Michigan Opera Theater and then managed to basically corral the wherewithal to redo the opera house or make the opera house.
Yeah.
It was a great obituary in the Free Press.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was a good write up.
Very well done. What a legacy. I mean,
And
bring culture here.
How much he was able to do to revitalize downtown as well as the opera scene here in the state.
And that was also another thing about Hirschfeld, too. He would actually take a sketch pad to the shows and draw in the dark.
Huh. Really?
You know, like minimal light, he would actually sketch in the theater.
Then to catch everybody up. And by everybody, I mean me. Hirschfeld was the society. It was opera. He was doing a lot of this.
He did a lot in the New Yorker, didn't he?
Yeah. New Yorker. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, when people see Hirschfeld, they think looking at the New Yorker.
But he created sort of stylized versions of a lot of major
VIPs. Was it the Master of the Line or something? I can't remember. He's got some fancy, really elegant title to him. I can't remember.
I see. He could draw with just one line.
Yes.
That's what he was known for. Unbelievable. Well, I'm afraid that we are at the end of our time together, so it's time to say goodbye. Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
See ya later.
Professor Evans.
Have a good one.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.